Today we have something slightly different. As some of you know, last week or in the past week, the pastors of the Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand met in General Pastors Conference in Tanunda. Three full-on days, but also very blessed days. And as part of that week, Pastor Mike Fullwood, who's the Bishop of Western Australia, prepared a video sermon for those congregations or pastors who were unable to otherwise prepare. And while I did have time to prepare, when I looked at Pastor Mike's video, I thought, this is really helpful. It explained to me many things about this somewhat challenging parable of the persistent widow. And so I thought, rather than try and regurgitate that, I'll let Pastor Mike speak for himself. So now, assuming the IT works, I will see Pastor Mike preach to us about the parable of the persistent widow from Luke 18. If you could just go to the next slide, please, David. And if you press the button once more, it should start automatically. Yes, thank you.
Good morning and welcome. My name is Pastor Mike Ford and I'm Bishop of the LCAWA District. My privilege and pleasure to bring you God's Word today right across the LCA on a Sunday after our pastors have been gathered in their General Pastors Conference. Some of them may not have returned yet, some of them have had a very busy week, and so this resource is brought to you to bring God's Word into a number of different situations. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's Gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 18. Let's read it together. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he'll see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We do well to read the Gospels of Jesus and particularly his parable stories often. And sometimes to really marinate in those stories so that the truth goes deep into us. I think that this story is just such a one. Let's pray. Lord God, as we come to this time of hearing your word, we pray that we do let it settle into our hearts, that we hear it deeply and it does its work in us. In Christ we pray. Amen. Fellow disciples, I wonder if you have ever been tempted or thought that you would stop praying. If you have, maybe it was because you were feeling that God was slow to answer or perhaps ignoring your prayers. That he was a little bit like the unjust judge in the story that we just heard. He was slow and he was unresponsive. And maybe sometimes God feels like that. We ask, we plead, we ask again. Nothing happens, or not what we were hoping for. And then the questions begin. God, are you listening? God, do you really care? God, have you forgotten about your promises that you will hear me? God, are you asleep at the wheel? What on earth is going on? And at that point, maybe we are tempted to, or perhaps do, decide not to pray so much or not to pray anymore, thinking that God will never answer our prayers. It's into that kind of moment that Jesus tells this parable. So let's unpack it. What are we supposed to notice about this? on one level, Jesus says to us that we should expect or not be surprised by God's slowness, that it's somehow normal. He says about the Father's response, "Will he keep on putting us off?" Really, that sentence only makes sense if he has been putting us off, or it seemed like that. Now, that is a hard thing to take, and it seems to me especially hard when there are issues of justice involved. When I've been wronged, when someone has done evil to me, when I've been sinned against, when things are unfair, then I want redress and I want it immediately. I want quick justice, and given the opportunity, I want to dispense quick justice too. When I've been wronged by someone, the necessary judgment comes quickly to my mind, and sometimes also to my mouth. Words are quickly out of my mouth, words that are cutting and sharp. Perhaps I can sound a little bit like King David, who wrote in one of the Psalms about his call for justice, Psalm 109. "My God, whom I praise, do not remain silent, for people who are wicked and deceitful have opened their mouths against me. They attack me without cause." You can hear there, can't you, that David has an issue of justice. Someone has unfairly attacked him. Listen to what he asks God to do. "Appoint someone evil to oppose my enemy. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him be found guilty, and may his prayers condemn him. May his days be few. May another take his place of leadership. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. May his children be wandering beggars and driven from their ruined homes." And he goes on for quite a length in the same time. He wanted quick and extreme justice. And when I've been wronged, maybe unfairly accused or something like that, that's what I want from God too. Or do I? If I think about it more deeply, that's not really what I want at all. Because what if God, the perfect judge, the judge of all things and all people, dealt justice to me just as quickly as I would deal it to others? Then it's a whole different perspective. Then quick justice makes me worry about a kangaroo court kind of justice, the justice that's full of revenge and getting even. And we know what that looks like in our world. Particularly, I think, today in our social media. Let someone do wrong and the instant social media judgments pile up very quickly. And not always fairly. It's now a quite old example, but I think still an apt one. Let me ask you, do you think that Lindy Chamberlain was fairly dealt with by the quick court of public opinion? Was the justice meted out to her by the public who were looking on wise and fair? So is quick justice what I really want God to deal out to the world? I think no, because if God deals justice like that, then I'm in trouble. When it comes to justice being meted out to me, I want a thoughtful judge, a patient judge, a merciful judge, maybe even a judge who bends the rules just a bit and seems somewhat unjust. I find myself in a bit of a conundrum. So let us then look more closely at what Jesus does say about how God deals justice. We see that he does affirm that God's timing can seem slow to us, similar to the timing of the judge in the story. We experience it as sometimes being slow and unresponsive. Maybe on a mega scale, sometimes we say, "God, why aren't you coming back as you promised to do? Why not put an end to this miserable world and give vindication to your people who follow you?" But while God's timing might seem similar to that of the unjust judge, Jesus shows us that the Lord's motivation is different. Jesus doesn't affirm that God is exactly like the unjust judge. Rather, he makes a connection between the two, but also a distinction. And that distinction is that justice of God encompasses mercy. The justice of God encompasses mercy. And friends, this cuts right to the very heart of the gospel. Because the gospel story is one of justice with mercy. The justice of a just God, a righteous God, a holy God, who also acts with mercy. And in fact bears the sentence of the accused on himself, so that a different kind of justice might prevail. Now, at Easter time, we often hear some verses from Isaiah chapter 53. They're at the very heart of our gospel celebration of Easter. Let me remind you of them. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. God places the punishment, the justice that belonged to us upon Christ. And it's the working out of this massive plan of salvation that leads the gospel, that leads the justice of God to move slowly. The Apostle Peter explained this to some of the earliest followers of Jesus, who were also wondering about why God was taking so long. Speaking about the timing of God's judgment and the revelation of justice, Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3 these words. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter tells us why God seems so slow. It's because he wants more to be saved. He wants everyone to come to a knowledge of the wonderful gift of salvation. And that's the key to understanding how God's justice is different from the injustice of the judge in the story. God's justice does indeed roll on like a mighty river, but the direction of that river's flow is shaped by God's wonderful mercy. Now, as I think about this story, there's a little digression I want to explore with you. As is often the case with Jesus' parables, as we look into them deeply, we find that they bring us face to face with the story of the cross. And in this one, as we're thinking about fairness and justice, we can't help but think about the trial of Jesus. At the heart of the Easter accounts, we hear the story of a righteous man, Jesus Christ, who gets kangaroo court justice. Jesus was dragged before a hastily convened court in the middle of the night. He was accused by witnesses who couldn't even agree on their story, and he was convicted on the voices, not on the facts. And then he was sentenced by someone who listened to him and talked to him and saw nothing wrong in what he had done, but then bowed to public pressure as the lynch mob bayed for his blood. In short, Jesus got no justice whatsoever. And yet, that strange and unjust sentence leads to a completely unexpected outcome. We know that Jesus died that the guilty might be set free.
So there we see it again. Right at the heart of the gospel is unexpected and yet wonderful justice. And all this leads us to the very last sentence of today's gospel reading, which in itself is something of a surprise. It comes to us and we think, how does that fit in with what Jesus has been saying? Let me remind you what it says. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, when we first hear that, it feels a bit out of place. Jesus has been talking about justice and fairness, and suddenly this word faith gets thrown in. And how does that fit together? And I wonder if the disciples originally found that a bit disconnected too, and maybe that was the part of the parable that sat with them and that they worried over. Maybe it fussed with them as they reflected on what Jesus had said. But later on, as the plan of God was more fully revealed, the link that Jesus had made between this justice and faith maybe came to bear. And eventually the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to put it in this way in his letter to the Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And there in that passage we have this link between justice and faith. Paul uses a cousin word to justice, justification. It comes from the same basic family of words. And as he tells us, just as Jesus has hinted at in Luke 18, the doorway to the new justice that God reveals in Christ comes to us through faith. The judge will indeed come, but he will come looking for faith. And faith will open the doorway to life. Jesus in this story reveals to us the justice of God and shows us a judge whose justice never wavers, but also whose mercy never flags. And friends, that is the judge that we truly look for and need. Let us pray. Lord, we pray today that your justice would continue to be both righteous and merciful. Help us to trust when your timing seems imperfect. For you are not slow as some count slowness, and as we are sometimes tempted to count slowness. Thank you that you are as merciful to us as we need. And that you are also merciful with those who harm us. Help us to keep this same mercy in our hearts as we deal with others. Teach us, Lord, to keep on calling out to you in our need and not to lose heart, knowing that we have been justified by faith and stand in grace. We know that this sustains us in our sufferings, for suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And this hope in you does not disappoint us, though we may have to wait patiently. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. And now, dear friends, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds secure in Christ Jesus. Amen. Just in closing, I'd like to thank the folks from Rockingham Mandurah Lutheran Church who helped me to make this video. This is Rockingham Mandurah Lutheran Church at Living Waters Lutheran College in WA. God bless you.